a team was developing a new perfume for the world. And within the team, I found a preconception that being a Mexican wasn't perceived as someone that could highly contribute. Somehow there was a bias to figure out how I was going to be able to contribute. But at the same time, I took it as an opportunity and I said, let me work on how I can help you understand the perspective that I can bring is actually something that will be accretive to what we're trying to achieve. And so I leaned in into the opportunity versus pulling back. When you face challenges, the more you can imagine that you're going to find a positive outcome is really important to continue to find solutions, because you are going to probably find a different solution to the challenge that enables you to really link into those opportunities versus shutting you down in terms of thinking only about the problem.
Great companies are all about the people. Good people become great leaders, mentors for work and life.
Welcome to Learnings from Leaders, the P&G Alumni Podcast.
I'm Raman Segal, recovering marketer.
And I'm Ida Abdalkhani, a chief catalyzer. Raman and I both got our start at P&G, the Procter & Gamble company, where we had the opportunity to work with some amazing people. And as you may know, many leaders across industries got their start at P&G. In this series, through conversations with fellow P&G alums, we hope to go deeper with the leaders you already know but want to know more about.
It's kind of like bringing a microphone to a cup of coffee.
On today's show, we're talking to P&G alumni leader Alicia Enciso, CMO at Nestle USA. It was a great conversation about grit, remaining positive, and continuing to push the status quo, because you can have it all in time and with the right support. But first, we wanted to share an amazing opportunity for all of our end-of-year giving. As you may know, the P&G Alumni Foundation creates economic empowerment opportunities for those in need around the world, providing marginalized communities sustainable paths to prosperity. As a registered nonprofit with hundreds of volunteers around the world, the P&G Alumni Foundation does this each year by giving grants to some amazing organizations funded through contributions by alums like you and me. The foundation is creating real, impactful economic opportunities for communities around the world, across rural Africa and Asia, in urban Mumbai and Cincinnati, as well as so many other amazing and deserving programs powered by P&G people. And for the month of December, to accelerate all of our year-end giving, we have two really exciting opportunities that we hope will motivate you to donate to the great work of the P&G Alumni Foundation. First, thanks to the generosity of former P&G CEO John Pepper and his wife Francie, all year-end donations of any size will be matched dollar for dollar. And to make things even more interesting, all donations given in the month of December will also make you eligible to win a 30-minute Zoom call with some of our most prominent alumni. Your donation of any size will enter you to win a chance to win a conversation with folks like A.G. Laffley, the former CEO of P&G, Paul Pullman, former CEO of Unilever, Bracken Darrell, Logitech CEO, and many more. You can learn more on how to donate and win a chance for an amazing one-on-one alumni conversation at pgalums.com/raffle. Or you can simply give and have your donations matched by John and Francie Pepper at pgalums.com/donate. No donation is too big or too small. It's never too late to start giving back. Your donation is tax deductible, and through the power of P&G people, will put to great use uplifting communities around the world. So be sure to visit pgalums.com/raffle and pgalums.com/donate for your chance to donate and win before the end of the year. And now back to our conversation with Alicia Enciso. It was a great conversation about grit, remaining positive, and continuing to push the status quo, because you can have it all in time and with the right support. Here's a quick bio. Alicia Enciso is the Chief Marketing Officer for Nestle USA. She started her career at P&G in 1988 in Latin America and worked in the personal care, home care, and paper divisions. In 1997, she led P&G's largest Latin American acquisition at the time, creating a new paper division in Latin America with the Charmin brand. After her time with P&G, Alicia pursued her entrepreneurial aspirations by co-founding a media trading company. After successfully exiting that business, she joined a consultancy group before returning to corporate America and being the first ever CMO for Nestle USA. She built the team from 10 to 15 people to over 200 today and has created a mentorship program for underrepresented groups at Nestle. She is deeply passionate about the role of diversity, inclusion, and belonging in building strong marketing teams and moving the industry forward. As vice chair of the Alliance for Inclusive and Multicultural Marketing, she works with fellow industry leaders to help drive equality, inclusion, and systematic change in the marketing ecosystem and our society. What I love about our conversation is Alicia's positivity. She believes in leaning into opportunities versus pulling back when she encounters challenges. I think many of us can relate to her experiences of having to manage family and career, and even being told that she can't have both. But she figured out a way through grit and support from her family and mentors. Alicia is a testament to the idea that once we learn something, our brains expand, and she has demonstrated this in action through her career both as an entrepreneur and corporate marketer. She reminds us that we can always find a positive solution and that we must believe in ourselves and have grit to succeed. So let's dive in. We hope you'll enjoy our conversation with Alicia and CISO. Alicia, welcome to the podcast. It's really great to have you here.
Thank you, Ida. Really exciting.
Well, many already know your professional story, but here's a quick overview for our listeners. Alicia Enciso is the Chief Marketing Officer for Nestle USA. She started her career at P&G in 1988 in Latin America and worked in the personal care, home care, and paper divisions. In 1997, she led P&G's largest Latin American acquisition at the time, creating a new paper division in Latin America with the Charmin brand. After her time with P&G, Alicia pursued her entrepreneurial aspirations by co-founding a media trading company. After successfully exiting that business, she joined a consultancy group before returning to corporate America and being the first ever CMO for Nestle USA. She built the team from 10 to 15 people to over 200 today and has created a mentorship program for underrepresented groups at Nestle. She is deeply passionate about the role of diversity, inclusion, and belonging in building strong marketing teams and moving the industry forward. As vice chair of the ANA's Alliance for Inclusive and Multicultural Marketing, she stands with fellow industry leaders to drive interventions that will have an immediate and sustained impact on equality, inclusion, and systematic change in the marketing ecosystem and our society. Alicia, there is so much in there that I want to ask you about, but first, who were you before the beginning of your career journey?
Ida, I was, again, born and raised in Mexico. So before starting my career, I was able to study at the ITAM University in Mexico City. I studied business, concentrated in marketing and in finance. And what I would tell you is that at the time, I was pretty, I would say, inquisitive. I joined that university, actually, because it was a very hard one to get into. I started, actually, economics. And in the middle of my degree, I realized that economics was a little bit too vague for what I wanted. And literally, over a day, decided to swap my career and went fully into business. And again, was able to start also working. So I also started working as a full-time student, but also as a full-time intern at P&G in the last 2 years of my career. So that also, I think, was really interesting because it made me venture into being able to apply what I was learning. And so that's a little bit of how I started.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that is very rare to be able to work for 2 years before you end up going to that place of business full-time, right? So it's a great trial period, I guess you could say. Well, what did you learn when you were doing that internship? You mentioned economics and how you knew basically in a day that you wanted to switch to business. Was there anything during that internship that helped you understand what you were good at or maybe even not so good at along the way?
Yes. And I would tell you that P&G recruiting did an amazing job for me because I was part of a student organization and P&G supported us financially. And so a good friend of mine, a co-leader in the organization, one day told me, hey, we should go to P&G because they're supporting us and they're going to give us our check. And so we went to their offices, which, by the way, were very close to my home. I didn't even know P&G at the time. And their recruiting folks immediately told me, hey, are you looking for a job? And I was. I actually had already applied to Citibank to be an intern. And I was really interested in finance at the time. And so, again, the recruiting folks started talking to me and said, well, why don't you apply with us? And I was like, well, again, I don't even know you, right? And the woman, of course, was really, really amazing. She actually was the one to tell me and to lead me into a marketing career. Because when I started talking to her about the opportunity, about the job, but that I really wanted finance, she asked me more and more questions. And through that, she was able to say, hey, I think you would really appreciate brand management. And I think that what she was able to realize is that, of course, I liked numbers, but at the same time, I really appreciated the creativity side of marketing, as well as I was very inquisitive. So I loved to understand sort of consumer behavior and be able to influence it. So I would say I would credit the fact that P&G actually enabled me to absolutely swap careers from the get-go.
Yes, and you mentioned how the P&G recruiter actually kind of focused on your creativity, your inquisitiveness. Did they know about your entrepreneurial spirit from high school?
No, not at all, Ida. And I would tell you that, again, in high school, I started being an entrepreneur. And yes, I would say also applying business. I had a cookie business. So in high school, I figured out that it was here in the US, you would have these amazing large chocolate chip cookies, which I loved to have when I came to the US, but they weren't that available in Mexico. And so I decided to build a cookie business and I started selling them in my high school. And no, I don't think that they knew at the time about my endeavor, but I'm pretty sure that if they did, they would have liked it. But again, it was a fun opportunity. I actually was then able to, once I graduated from high school, my brother took over the business and he expanded it into the sports club we actually went to. So it was a fun family story, because not only did we grow it, but sort of it went through generations of the family.
Yeah, no, I love that story. I think it really shows both your curiosity, that natural curious nature that you have, as well as that entrepreneurial spirit that has fueled you in your career. I know another aspect about you that I think is really intriguing to our listeners is this idea of being able to be fully bicultural. And what I mean by that is that you have worked and studied in different cultures between Mexico and the US, so fully immersed yourself in both worlds. Can you tell us a little bit about how that has impacted your career trajectory?
Sure. As I mentioned, I grew up in Mexico, but even from an early age, so I was able to come here when I was about 9 years old, and that was my first year of full-time studies in the U.S. But thereafter, I did some graduate studies here in the U.S., and then, as you say, I've probably now worked and lived in the U.S. for more than 10 years of my career. And I think that that has given me such a broadness of perspective into opportunities, into how do you leverage diversity to expand thinking. Because again, the more that you understand different cultures, the more that you realize that there are so many ways to solve challenges, to think about new growth opportunities. And I think that that has been really, really foundational in my career. Because I believe that every time sort of you expand your mind, you just never shrink it back, right? It just keeps expanding. At the same time, it is very challenging because you set yourself up for needing to operate in absolutely different circumstances than your original ones. But I do believe that it is a huge opportunity. It has been for me personally and professionally, but also I think that in the workplace, the more that we, again, can leverage diversity, it is huge.
I agree. And Alicia, you said something I think really important here about the challenges of being able to navigate these different worlds and these different cultures. And I think something that's really important for our listeners is, of course, we're talking to individuals who have had extraordinary business success, but oftentimes we learn the most from when we fall down or from some of our setbacks. As you think back over your career, is there anything that didn't work out quite the way you thought it would, or maybe even a setback where it really informed or influenced you moving forward?
Yes, definitely. I think that there were many setbacks in my career when things didn't turn out the way that I thought. One of them would actually be probably, it could be considered a setback when I left P&G. So when I left P&G, I had already had my first child. So, and I come from a very traditional family. And so when I had that, again, my first child, my mom was like, okay, great. You've had a great career. Now it's done. Right. And again, I love her to death. But again, I do come from a very traditional family. And I was like, no, what do you mean? I'm done. But again, you can imagine that at the time, it's very, very hard to manage everything, right? And so I took the opportunity to go into a part-time job as the P&G gave us at the time, but I did change my assignment. And what I would tell you is at the end, I did end up leaving the company just because of the fact that it wasn't going to be that right fit. I did find an amazing opportunity because I joined at the time. I did my first, I would say, entrepreneurial venture, but it was a time that I would tell you that I felt personally that I was not, I considered it a failure because I wasn't able to sort of put everything together in the way that I liked it. But again, what I think was amazing is that it gave me the opportunity. So something that I would consider at the time a failure because I would like, well, I'm having to change sort of paths, gave me one of the biggest opportunities. Because I think when I went into the entrepreneurial opportunity, I really found myself. I was able to confirm that I loved, of course, working and business and contributing. And I found the way to actually be able to do it in a way that just defined me, which was I was going to have my family and I was going to have a full career. But at the time, I would say that probably I had a struggle through it.
And Alicia, I love what you mentioned there, that you are going to have a full career and a family. I think that this is still a struggle today for many women, even though we've made a lot of advances, I think, in terms of society and how they think of us. I know you mentioned that earlier on for you coming from a traditional family, the idea was that, hey, you've had your first kid, so your career is done, right? And I think we've certainly had a lot of advancement, so to speak, in the way our society perceives these things and thinks these things, but it's still a struggle. And I think a lot of women still feel like it's very difficult to have both career and family as you've been able to achieve. Do you have any advice as it relates to that balancing act or how you've been able to achieve both of those and not having to give up one or the other?
Sure. I would say for me, there were two things, Ida. One was that you do have to make choices. So I think that the idea that you're going to be able to just have it all is true, but within a world in which at the time you are making, let's say, choices that will support, let's say, the right balance for you. And you need to find personally what the right balance is for you. As I told you, when I went into being an entrepreneur, it was really funny because literally I would have my office and in the next space, I had a little nursery for my child. And therefore I was like, okay, I'm fine. Probably I worked many more hours because again, this was a digital entrepreneur venture. So you can imagine that the hours were crazy. But again, for me, that really worked. So I think you have to make the choices that support you. The other thing that I've had, I think, as part of my career, which has been amazing, is that my husband and I will be married for 30 years next year.
Wow, congrats.
And we have really teamed up. So for the first 15 years of my career, I literally was following his. And again, in this time, they sent us all over the world. We worked in New York twice. We worked in Miami again. And I would always reconfigure my career, even my career at P&G, to all these different moves. And then after those 15 years, he had his business. And then we teamed up and he said, you always wanted to go, let's say, back to corporate business after I had my entrepreneurial venture. And I had the opportunity at the time, I was headhunted to lead a consulting firm in a marketing consulting firm in Mexico. And so we talked about it and he said, look, now I have my business. I can have, let's say, more freedom. And if you want to go back into the full corporate world and go after that part, go. And so I think for us, it's been an amazing opportunity as we teamed up as a couple to, let's say, both achieve our objectives personally and professionally.
I love that. I think the idea of support is so critical. Having what I like to call our tribe, and for you, that includes your husband. Have there been other people that make up your personal tribe or that have been really critical to you being able to achieve this balance of what works for you?
Yes. In my case, it was my parents. So very early, they supported me. Even though my mom, of course, was very traditional, we have an amazing relationship. And once she realized that I was going to be who I was, both of my parents were very, very close in bringing up our kids. I have a son and a daughter, and they've been tremendously close throughout their lives. And so for us, it's been a huge opportunity. I also think that the richness that my kids have had of also being closer to an older generation than ourselves as parents has been amazing.
Fantastic. I think that the parental support, you know, as I talk to individuals for this podcast, we often hear about how parents tend to amaze us, that we might do something that we don't think that they agree with at first. And then at the end of the day, parents just love their kids and want them to be happy. And so they end up surprising us in so many pleasant ways, I think, and supporting what we do.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. At first they fight you and then they support you.
Right, exactly. Well, related to that, what about mentors? I'm sure that you've probably encountered many mentors along your career, especially with the changes that you've made from corporate to entrepreneurship to intrapreneurship. Do any stand out in particular for you? And what have you learned from them, if so?
Sure. I think I've had three amazing mentors in my life. They have all been professional. And I would start probably with my current boss. And my current boss is amazing. He currently leads here, Nestle, in the US. And one of the things that I most admire and I've learned from him tremendously is, I would say, the power of culture. And I think that in organizations, we talk so much about, hey, culture, and it's important. And yet it is hard sort of to grasp. And he is very intentional about building our culture at Nestle USA. And I've seen how he took the helm of the company about 3 years ago, and what he has been able to absolutely build for a very large company is amazing. And he literally created it as part of one of his first priorities. And seeing, but now he's very intentional. He's very intentional with what it is, why the elements of our culture are what they are, and then making sure that we are driving them intentionally. He has invested in a leadership program for all of us. And I've just, for me, why it is important is because I've seen the difference between just talking about it, which I think everybody or any company talks about it, to really it being a huge driving force of the opportunities that a company has. That has been one. And I think earlier in my career, I had an amazing, amazing mentor in Martha Miller. She was a senior executive at P&G when I joined. And of course, as a female, she was an amazing role model for all of us that were growing up. And she was very, very meaningful to me because I could sort of see myself reflected in terms of what she was achieving. These were early days for being a senior executive leader at a company. I feel very, very lucky. And what I learned from her, I think, was, again, the power of being sort of yourself as a woman, and that she never compromised in terms of, again, she had three daughters, amazing. She was raising them. And again, she was doing both. So I think that she was amazing. And the third one was my boss at Nestle in Mexico. And from him, I think there's two things that I learned. One, he was relentless. He was so, in a good way, but he was so ambitious of what we could achieve as a company. And the other thing that he did is he always kept expanding my job. So I joined Nestlé Mexico as our head of communications and all marketing, let's say, services. And then after a year, he's like, no, I'm going to give you all corporate communications. And I was like, well, I don't know that as much. He's like, you're going to do fine. You're just going to get it, right? And then he gave me all innovation, the same thing. Literally, he announced to me the day that we were presenting to his Switzerland, let's say, boss, that And I had prepared all the sort of the presentation and the organization. And he's like, yeah, and you're going to present it. And I'm like, okay, but I'm presenting it, right? And he's like, yeah, because you're going to lead it. And I'm like, okay. That's the way he would do things in a very, I would say, just jump in the pool and swim.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sink or swim, it sounds like, with him.
Exactly.
Well, I want to go back to something you mentioned about your first mentor that you mentioned here at Nestle currently about the power of culture, because I know that you've done a lot of intentional work yourself to ensure the culture is, let's say, more inclusive and more expansive in terms of representation at Nestle. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about how you've approached that and how that's impacted the culture on your team.
Sure. Of course, coming from a diverse background myself, you can imagine that, and because I mentioned, I appreciate what this can do for companies. Ever since I came to Nestle, this is 8 years ago here in the US, we've built within my team a very diverse team. So I'm very proud to say more than almost two-thirds of my team is of diverse backgrounds. And in recently, I would tell you, we've been having a couple of initiatives that have been, I think, phenomenal. One is that we launched a BIPOC mentorship program for our diverse mentors to really help them progress within their careers. So what we found is, of course, well, on one side, it was great to have all this amazing talent, but at the same time, we wanted to make sure that they felt that they were having the opportunities and the tools to develop. So we launched that last year, and we paired up all of my senior leaders with mentees. And it is a program which is also very important for me because I have actually an amazing mentee who I always tell him he is reverse mentoring myself in terms of additional opportunities that we need to be taking to support, again, the diverse talent and help them grow. And again, we launched it a little bit in this area of saying, hey, you just jump into the pool and get it going. So this is our first generation. And I'm really excited about the progress we're making there. And in addition to that, I would tell you, I've been very involved also at an industry level. So I am co-chair of AIM. And AIM is part of the ANA. And basically, we are helping companies understand everything from multicultural marketing and the importance of marketing to a multicultural America. But then importantly, helping companies, I would say, develop more diverse suppliers. In our case, for example, last year, we realized that within all of our directors that produce our ads, we were less than 10% diverse, and that was not a place we wanted to be. So we put an initiative, and what was also great is we immediately changed. So we put the initiative and said, as of this production, all of our productions will have the opportunity to have full rosters of diverse talent. And then, of course, to represent in a unique way, each brand that we have is very different. And so, again, what we wanted to do was to make the right progress for the brand in better representing America. And so, again, we launched the initiative, and today, more than 50% of our directors are coming from diverse talent in only a year. So, again, I think you can make progress, but as you mentioned, and that's what I've learned from my boss, you have to be intentional.
I love your focus on being intentional and also the progress that you've made. There was a story that I know about you as we've chatted in the past about your time at Estee Lauder. And I would love if you could share that because I think it's a great example around this idea of diversity, being intentional, and turning things into positive opportunities. So even when you encounter some challenges in this realm, I think you've been able to show that it's still possible to turn that into something that can be a positive experience. Would you mind sharing that story from Estee Lauder?
Sure. So I had the opportunity to work for Estee Lauder here in New York. And I think that when I arrived, I had the opportunity to join a team that was developing a new perfume for the world. And within the team, I found a preconception that being a Mexican wasn't perceived as someone that could highly contribute, let's say, to that opportunity. The team was led by a French woman with very, very strong expertise in the field. But somehow there was a bias towards saying she just couldn't figure out how I was going to be able to contribute. And this was the first time I was like, what do you mean? Just because I have a different nationality or why? Right?
Right.
And it was a challenge. But at the same time, I took it as an opportunity, right? And I said, okay, let me work on how I can help you understand that we're actually going to be selling and that the sales that are expected from Latin America, which is what I represent in the team, are important. And that the perspective that I can bring from that is actually something that will be accretive to what we're trying to achieve. And so what happened is that I leaned in into the opportunity versus sort of pulling back. And it's very normal when you are in those instances to sort of have questions and feelings, and but leaning in and being able to just to overcome the challenge was, I think, a huge learning for me in terms of saying, no, you lean in, you work it out. And it worked out pretty well for me. But I had the opportunity either to pull back or lean in. And I decided, of course, to lean into the opportunity and say, nope, we're going to make it happen and you're going to see the value.
Yeah, I love that story. You've shared that one with me before, and it just really stood out to me about how you were able to take something that I think potentially could have been a much more challenging situation. I think it can cause a lot of people to shut down or to walk away, I think, with some negative feelings around an experience like that. But your positivity, your approach of leaning in, as you said, really turned that situation around. And not only for yourself, but also for your peers, right? In terms of what they were able to learn from you, as you said, coming in representing Latin America and helping them culturally, I think, expand their thinking as well, which is amazing.
And now a word from our sponsor. As the year comes to a close, we want to share an amazing opportunity for all of our end-of-year giving. As you may know, the P&G Alumni Foundation creates economic empowerment opportunities for those in need around the world, providing marginalized communities sustainable paths to prosperity. As a registered nonprofit with hundreds of volunteers around the world, the P&G Alumni Foundation does this each year by providing grants to some amazing organizations, funded through contributions by alums like you and me. The P&G Alumni Foundation is creating real, impactful economic opportunities for communities around the world, across rural Africa and Asia, in urban Mumbai and Cincinnati, as well as so many other amazing and deserving programs around the world, powered by P&G people. For the month of December, to accelerate all of our year-end giving, we've got two really exciting opportunities that we hope will motivate you to donate to the great work of the P&G Alumni Foundation. First, thanks to the generosity of former P&G CEO John Pepper and his wife Francie, all year-end donations of any size will be matched dollar for dollar. And to make things even more interesting, all donations given in the month of December will also make you eligible to win a 30-minute Zoom call with some of our most prominent alumni names. Your donation of any size will enter you for the chance to win a conversation with folks like former P&G CEO A.G. Lafley, former Unilever CEO Paul Pullman, Logitech CEO Bracken Darrell, Danone President Sylvia DeVia, former Clorox CEO Ben Odor, and many more accomplished leaders. You can learn more on how to donate and win a chance for an amazing one-on-one alumni conversation at pgalums.com/raffle. Or you can simply give and have your donations matched by John and Francie Pepper at pgalums.com/donate. No donation is too small or too big, and it's never too late to start giving back. Your donation is tax deductible, and through the power of P&G people, we put to great use uplifting communities around the world. So be sure to visit pgalums.com/raffle or pgalums.com/donate for your chance to donate and win before the end of the year. And now back to our show.
One of the things that I wanted to touch on as well is balancing family and career, as we talked about a little bit earlier. And what do you think your kids have learned from you? Because as you mentioned, you came from a traditional family. Your parents had certain expectations for you, which you turned around and they supported. And similarly, right, you're a parent now with certain expectations for your kids. And I'm sure they're also surprising you with things and expanding your thinking. As you mentioned earlier, the reverse mentoring in a way, right? And what do you think your kids might say that they've learned from you?
I would say definitely that they both would say grit. Right? In the sense of, I do believe that 1% is a great idea, 99% is sort of perspiration, right? So it's about making sure that you devote the time, again, and that you're intentional about and what you achieve and that you overcome challenges, because life is always full of challenges. And so I would say that both of my kids would say, hey, mom, yeah, definitely grit, because you don't give up easily. And you are pretty persuasive in terms of being able to make sure that you're giving things the right effort, I would say. And the other thing that probably I think my kids would say too is assuming positive intent. So I think when you face challenges, the more that you can imagine that you're going to find a positive outcome on that is really important to you continuing to find solutions, because you are going to probably find a different solution to the challenge. Like what I said in the beginning, right? When it was, okay, you finalized your career, thank you very much, at 30 years old. Well, you're right. Going to find a different solution, right? But you've got to assume that in a positive way that it's out there and you're just going to find it. Because that enables you to really link into those opportunities versus shutting you down in terms of thinking only about the problem. And I do think that both of my kids have that, because since very little, we would work on that. I remember that once we went to SeaWorld at the time with my son was very, very young. He was probably 8 years old and he wanted to be on the show. And so we talked about it and I said, well, we've got to be out there outside of the place. That's where they choose the kids that will be on the show. And so we were there for the first round and he wasn't chosen. And he was so upset and he just wanted to leave and whatever. And I said, no, if you want to do this, and the show was actually called Believe, and I will never forget it. And I said, if you want to do this, you've got to believe that you're going to be able to get in the show. And we're just going to be here and we're going to be in the next round. And he was, again, little 8-year-old kid. And so what ended up happening is I said, but you've got to get over yourself, right? If you're in this attitude, nobody will choose you. And he did. And he got on the show the next round. It's also a really nice family story because, yeah, he still has, because they would give the kids a whale tail. And he still has that whale tail because, again, it was learning when he was young that you just stick to things, right? And you believe they can be done and you do it.
Wow. And how perfect that the show is actually called Believe. I love how you weave that into what you were telling him and into inspiring him. Well, if you had a time machine, we talked a little bit about your kids and advice that they may have learned from you. As you look back at your career trajectory and at your life in general, is there advice that you would give your younger self?
Yeah, of course. I think absolutely. And I think the advice would be not to worry. I think when you're young, when you're starting a family, you worry about so many things that it's like, now that I see it, for example, I would worry, right, that my kids were going to grow up well coming from this background. And now I'm like, oh my God, those hours could have been so much better spent having fun.
I love that. That's great advice for all of us, I think, to keep in mind, especially now, given the pandemic. I think we're all at a heightened sense of anxiety in so many ways.
Yes.
And just remembering, I think that, like you said, things will work out. We don't have to worry about things quite as much as we tend
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
Well, switching then a little bit to the future. So we just took a step back and talked about a time machine. What are you working on that has you most excited these days?
I think one of the areas that has me tremendously passionate about, of course, I already talked about diversity and how we're working on that. But the other part, I think, is sustainability. I think that, as you say, yes, we are in the middle of the pandemic. We're also in the middle, as we've seen, of a tremendous climate crisis, right? And I'm having the opportunity to also work in our sustainability priority at Nestle USA. And it's been a fascinating also journey with our team, because over the last 2 years, we've really upped our game, our commitment, the progress we're making. And I think it really excites me to see that in business, we can make so much change to leave the world just a better place that we found it, which is what we're trying to do, right? And I think that in the past, we were, as in business, we were the bad guys, right? And it was always, you're not doing enough. And I think that the way that we've stepped up across many companies is something that is very exciting. And as a marketer also, it's really exciting because it is about innovation. In order for us to achieve what we want to achieve, we want to achieve it with how we're doing things now, right? We need to really innovate and find new ways of doing things to be able to achieve the pretty ambitious targets that we're setting ourselves to go and do. And the other part, which I think as a marketer is also fascinating, is around, okay, how do you really understand from a consumer standpoint, where is the real value of this as you're making all these changes and be able to communicate it in a way that is, I would say, that creates value for consumers. So it is an area that is being tremendously exciting. that requires tons of innovation. And so I think that as a my marketer's heart, it is being a very, very exciting one. And I'm so happy with the progress the team is making.
And Alicia, you mentioned the idea of being able to connect with consumers more than something you and I have talked about before, that in the future, we're going to be able to connect more directly and one-on-one with consumers, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, we're already seeing that because of the pandemic, we've been forced to, but oftentimes constraints give us the best innovation. How do you think about that moving forward because of your role at Nestle, this idea of being able to connect more directly with the consumer?
I think it is another area that I'm tremendously excited about, which is, of course, digital transformation. And I think that for us at Nestle last year, 50% of our growth came from e-commerce. And so that is requiring us. And when we see also, even from a communication standpoint, we're moving towards 2/3 of our investments being digital. And within digital, we are having new ways to connect with consumers in ways that are, again, much more relevant to what you're looking as a consumer. So because today we can go in a lot more targeted ways that we did before. And I think that that is tremendously exciting. We did quite a few pilots this year. For example, we have a brand that's called Life Cuisine, and it has very specific food for what we would call tribe needs, right? So people that are looking for gluten-free products, people that are looking to have a keto diet. And we were able to find the people that were looking for those kinds of food and really be able to talk to them in much more relevant ways. And I think that that is extremely exciting as we go forward. And for us, the other part I think is also being fascinating is that we are venturing into direct-to-consumer models that, again, that have even more one-to-one or direct relationship with consumers. And I think it is being fascinating in terms of, again, being able to better meet what someone wants, which I think is, of course, nirvana as a marketer.
All right. And making a note to self, I'm going to keep my eye out for the direct-to-consumer innovations that you guys come up with. Excited to see what comes out next.
Well, wonderful.
Let's go into our fun questions. We like to wrap up with a few rapid-fire questions, just the first thing that comes to mind. What do you think surprises people about you? Maybe a fun fact or something that people don't know as much about you.
Sure. I think that as a Mexican, everybody assumes that I would love spicy food. And guess what? That's not my case. I just don't tolerate it that much. But yeah, every time it's like, what do you mean you don't love absolutely spicy food? And it's like, no. Having said that, though, my daughter, since she was 2 years old, absolutely adores spicy food. So I'm like, oh, okay. I guess it just is different for everybody.
Yeah. Or maybe those genes came from your husband.
Yeah, most probably. Most probably.
Okay. What about if you had infinite resources to go do or learn any one thing, what would it be?
Oh my God. To learn one thing, I would probably use it to travel around the world and personally learn even more about cultures. But I wouldn't do it in a book. I would do it, of course, through the experience. That's what I would do.
Well, related to that, what's one place you want to go back to or spend more time?
Thailand. I love Thailand. I'm impressed about it, the beauty of the country, but also the beauty of the people.
I love Thailand as well. I could go back any day.
Yeah, amazing.
What about a new place you want to go?
Morocco. So I haven't had the opportunity to go to Morocco. And I also think it is tremendously interesting from a cultural standpoint. And I hope to be able to do that soon after the pandemic.
So Alicia, if you could have coffee with anyone, and they don't need to be physically here on Earth today, who would that be? And what would you ask?
Oh my God. I think would someone that would be really interesting to have coffee with. Well, there's two ways that I would answer. One is people that I have really appreciated at P&G that I would love to have a coffee again because it's been a long time that I haven't seen. One would be Jorge Mezquita, who was also an amazing leader while I was there, and Melanie Healy. And in the big question in terms of even if they weren't here, oh my God, I think that probably it would be someone like, I don't know, Gandhi, maybe, in the sense of saying someone that has been so influential around the world and that you would learn so much from.
Fantastic. Thank you. And what is one final piece of advice or challenge you'd give to the next generation?
I would say, of course, lean in into the opportunities, lean in into everything that you find. The best part, of course, is figuring it out. And with a positive intent, you can always figure it out. And you will always appreciate what you've done. And sometimes, even in these challenging times with the pandemic and us having such a challenge right now, I think, with mindset, the more that you can lift yourself up and lean in into those opportunities, again, that's what creates sort of the opportunities in life. And so definitely do it and go through that uncharted path. Sometimes you will find that either through challenges or because you took an opportunity, it takes you in a very different route. And I think that that is what is amazing about life.
Alicia, thank you so much for sharing part of your journey with us. I love your optimism. I love your approach to life and to career, and really appreciate you sharing your learnings with us. It's been such a pleasure to have you on our Learnings with Leaders podcast today.
Huge thanks, Ida, for having me here. It has been an amazing opportunity to talk to you today.
And that's our show. Like what you heard? Please subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcasting platform. For show notes about this episode, links to things mentioned, or requests for sponsorship, visit pgalums.com/podcast or email pgalumpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Learnings from Leaders is a production of the P&G Alumni Network, a global nonprofit founded by former P&Gers committed to community, enrichment, and philanthropy. With more than 45,000 registered members worldwide, the network connects alums through global conferences, local chapters, industry events, and online content. Our nonprofit foundation supports economic empowerment in communities around the world. To find out more, visit pgalums.com. Now here's a preview of next week's episode.
There were times where I realized I'm not really destined to be a general manager, and I think that's okay. I think for a lot of people, sometimes they just get caught. They're chasing something because they think that's what they have to go chase, when the reality is it's better to figure out what it is that you want to go do. And that's probably going to be something you'll be ultimately better at, and then hopefully happier and successful. Being honest with myself about that was really kind of freeing for me.
That's it for this week. I've been Ida Abdalkhani.
And I'm still Raman Segal. Thanks for joining Learnings from Leaders, the P&G Alumni Podcast. We'll see you next time.